Exodus is about what? Exiting. What's Leviticus about? Levites. And the Levites, they were what they do? They were what? They were the priests. Numbers is about numbering the people. Deuteronomy is about? We didn't do that very well on that. Will you think of the word duet when you think of Deuteronomy? I know it's spelled differently, but if you'll think of that, that's the way I put it in my head. What is Deuteronomy about? What is Deuteronomy about? It's the second time the law is given. Now, where's the first time? In which book in the Bible would I read the Ten Commandments the first time? Exodus what chapter? 20. Chapter 20. The second time they're given is in Deuteronomy. Anybody want to tell me what chapter it might be in? I went like this and I did twice, and somebody over here says chapter 10. You people over here on the left side over here, anybody want to tell me what chapter it might be in? Chapter 5. All right, that's great. What about Nate Abinabihu? What book would I read about that in? In Leviticus? In what chapter over here? Chapter 10. All right. That is great. And I had one other chapter to ask you about. And that is in what book would I read about Moses striking the rock? Numbers. In what chapter?
20.
In what chapter? 20. All right. And Nate Abinabihu are in what book? Leviticus, what chapter? Chapter 10. And the second time the Ten Commandments are given is in what chapter? Chapter 5. What book? Deuteronomy. All right. I hope that it's important, folks, to know where these are found. You need, these are not just some arbitrary chapters that we're just trying to pick out and find these things. It's really, really important to know these. And so whenever we've made up this list of questions, We're trying to find things that just not to make up questions, to have questions. There's a reason behind every one of these questions. Now, you have already received the prophet cards. David, where are you? Right here. You want to pass out the priest card, or shall we just put them on the table as they leave tonight? You want to go ahead and pass them out? If you do, everybody will be looking at them. But just so you'll know, the quiz is on the internet for the prophet card. So anytime that you want to go there and take that quiz as a measure about where you are in relationship to it, then that'd be a great way of measuring where you are in relationship to this. Because we not only have the prophet card and the priest card, there's also the king card, and you already know I'm persuaded that you know 75% of the prophet cards. I'm persuaded you probably know more than that of the questions in the prophet card. Do you not? If I ask you God's punishment for cursing your parents, for adultery, for homosexuality, for witchcraft, for blasphemy and murder, death. All right, and that's not hard, and that's half of the front card, There's a reason for that, because of the importance of some of those. We understand the justness of punishment for murder. Whoever takes a man's life, by him should one's life be taken. But this matter, young people, listen, this matter of cursing your parents, you need to understand the seriousness of that. You need to understand how God feels about that. And we don't live under that law, or I wouldn't be here. But you and I need to understand the importance of God's attitude toward that very thing and the things that transpire in relationship to that. So that's what's on the front card. And seriously, think about this. It's 5, 10, and 20. Got it? 5, 10, and 20. In the book of Deuteronomy, where do I read about the Ten Commandments? Chapter 5. Let's get that. Put that in your head. And when you're driving home, think about this, because you need to know where that's found. Deuteronomy chapter 5 is where you've got the Ten Commandments the second time. What about Nadab and Abihu? Now, think about what they are. That'll tell you the book. They're the ones who offer that sacrifice. Who offers the sacrifice? The priest? Well, in what book would I read about Nadab and Abihu? That's easy. Leviticus. In what chapter? chapter 10. And if you'll remember these, I don't know, maybe your head's not twisted like mine, but it helps me to do 5 and 10 and 20. I mean, it helps me remember that. And so in Numbers chapter 20 is where we read about Moses striking the rock. And see, when you get that, you've already got, what is it, half? No, there's probably 7 of them. You've got 40% of the chapters on this front card. And so I don't want you to be overwhelmed by how difficult this card, the prophet card is. That part of it, if you'll learn 5, 10, and 20, you're a long way toward already knowing the front card. Because when you get down to the key location, it asks you what verses in the Bible do you read about this. And so if you know what chapter Nadab and Abihu are in, what are the key verses? Well, it's Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. And there's a design to all of this that we're trying to put together. I want us to take a minute to take some time tonight to look at some of the questions that are found in the book of Deuteronomy. You want to grab your Bibles there? Where do you read about the Ten Commandments? The second time, where is that? All right. Where do I read about the Ten Commandments the first time? Exodus chapter 20. Chapter 20. All right. And so did I do 30? I thought I did 25, Ellie. Okay. All right. But look in the book of Deuteronomy, and there's some key things in this chapter. And they're not on the card, but you might want to mark them, okay? You really might want to mark these things in your Bible. One of the key things is found in chapter 4, verse 13. It's imperative that you know chapter 4 and verse 13. If you talk to individuals who think we ought to worship on the Sabbath day and keep the Ten Commandments. Because elsewhere in the Bible, the Lord says, I'm going to make a new covenant, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers. Well, what is that covenant? Chapter 4 and verse 13 is a verse you ought to have memorized, you ought to have underlined in your Bible that says, He declared unto you His covenant, which He commanded you to perform, the old King James says, even 10 commandments. That's powerful, folks. Now, beside that, I would put Jeremiah 31, 31, and in Jeremiah 31, 31, I'd put Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 13. I'd make my own chain reference there, because if you're in a discussion and somebody says, well, now, what about this Sabbath thing? Then you need to know how to deal with the Sabbath thing. The Lord said, I'm going to make a new covenant, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers. Well, what was the covenant made with their fathers? Even 10 commandments. Well, if we live under the 10 commandments like they live under the 10 commandments, then it's not a new covenant. You know, is it wrong to kill and to commit adultery and take the name of the Lord God in vain, have any other gods before the Lord, and to steal and to bear false witness and to covet? Yes, why? That's a part of the new covenant. What is different between the old covenant and the new covenant? One difference has to do with the Sabbath. And this is a great, great verse to show that the Sabbath is included in Jeremiah 31, 31, where the Lord said, I'll make a new covenant. That's an important, important verse. Now, while we're on the Sabbath, look in chapter 5. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, he calls all Israel together, and he says in verse 3, the Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers. Did Abraham keep the Sabbath? Did Noah keep the Sabbath? Did Adam keep the Sabbath? You'd be amazed how many people believe that from the time of the creation of the Garden of Eden, that from there on, God had men always kept the Sabbath. Well, now we've got the covenant identified back in chapter 4 and verse 13. Chapter 5 and verse 3 says, God did not make this covenant with the fathers. And so this covenant, the Ten Commandment covenant, was not a covenant made with the fathers. And so Abraham and Isaac and Jacob did not keep the Sabbath. Now, in reference to that, I need to just take a moment and discuss Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3 that says, the Lord sanctified and blessed the Sabbath day, or blessed the seventh day. That's back in Genesis chapter 2. But who's writing Genesis chapter 2? Moses is. It's not that Abraham is looking at that. Moses, 1,500 years, 2,500 years after the creation, and after Mount Sinai, Moses writes, the Lord blessed and the seventh day and set it apart, made it a day of rest, for on that day he had rested. And so it's not that the Lord sanctified that day right there. You've got to understand, Moses is the writer of it. And you need to know this if you're ever in a discussion with a Seventh-day Adventist, because that's the kind of verse that they'll use, and you just need to have your sword sharp enough to understand. It's like whenever the names of the apostles are found. You know where the apostles are found? You older people need to know where the apostles are found. These young people, you'll think I'm insane. But I'm going to ask a question. You don't have a clue what it's all about. Older people, what time of day do you drink Dr. Pepper's? 10, 2, and 4. That was a commercial they had years ago. In fact, there were clocks. You could buy a clock that had Dr. Pepper's on. Remember that? Am I stirring something? The apostles all drank Dr. Pepper. Matthew chapter 10, verse 2 to 4. That's the way I remember where the apostles are, all right? In Matthew chapter 10, verse... And you'll remember it too, Kathy. Don't you look at me that way. If you'll see Peter and the apostles, you know, and they got the Passover feast out there, and they're eating that lamb, and every time after they take a boat, some roast lamb, they pick up their Dr. Peppers, that's where you find the names of the apostles. Matthew chapter 10, verse 2 to 4, okay? Now, you know, some people say, Dan, I don't know why on earth you remember it. Why don't you just remember it? And I say to them, I'd rather remember it my way as to forget it your way, okay? And so if I put it in there tilted, it's stuck there, Kathy. You don't have any choice. It's in there, and it won't leak out. I mean, it is there. Where are the apostles? Matthew chapter 10, verse 2 to 4. Drink Dr. Pepper's, 10, 2, and 4. There was a commercial from way back in the ancient days. Noah sang it. Okay. Anyway, it's like that in Matthew chapter 10, where you read about the name of Judas, and it said Judas betrayed Jesus. Chronologically, at that time in Matthew chapter 10, had Judas betrayed Jesus? No, he just been selected as an apostle. And yet you read it there. Well, why does it use the past tense about the fact that he betrayed him? Because Matthew is all the way over here after Judas has betrayed him, and Matthew's trying to tell everybody what happened. He selected these 12 men, and Judas is the one who betrayed him. And so it's the viewpoint from where these things are being written. One other thing, he sanctified the seventh day, because on that day he had, the old King James says, he had rested. It's not that he rested and simultaneously sanctified the seventh day. He rested, and because he rested, he sanctified that day. Now, he could have done it on day 8, and we wouldn't know when he did it, except we know from Deuteronomy chapter 5 where that day was sanctified and made holy. Got those verses in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6. One of the questions on the prophet card is, when do you teach your children the Bible? And you remember the answer to that? What? All the time. I think the question on the card, I've got prophet cards and priest cards here. Does it say anytime, all the time? What's the answer on that? I can't find it. When and where to teach children? Anytime, anywhere. Anytime, anywhere. That's based on Deuteronomy chapter 6. And every parent and grandparent needs to listen to this. Teenagers, you need to listen to it, because someday you may be parents and you need to know this. Here's the way you teach the Bible to your children. He says in chapter 6, he says, the Lord our God is one Lord, verse 4. You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, strength, and these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. Where does it start? It starts not in the Bible. It starts not in a Bible storybook. It starts in the heart of a mom and a daddy. It's got to be in the heart of the mom and the daddy. What kind? What are we talking about? Well, the reality of these things. Doesn't this verse right before that say, you to love the Lord your God with all of your heart? That's in your emotions. And said, he says, these words that I command you to this day shall be in your heart. Your children got to know you love the Bible. They've got to know that this is special to you. Now, having done that, how do you teach the Bible to your children? Well, here's the way that you do it. He says, you shall teach them diligently unto your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you're not sitting in your house. Isn't that what he says? You shall teach them when you sit in your house and when you're walking by the way. That's when you're in your house and when you're not in the house. When you're walking by the way and when you're not walking by the way. When you're lying down and when you're not lying down. And when you're rising up and when you're not rising up. You know, when it rains and when it doesn't rain. You shall teach these things diligently unto your children. Now, I don't want to single out anybody special. But Harrison, could I ask you something? Could I ask you something, Harrison? And I've got the microphone here, and I'm not going to let you have it unless you do really, really good, okay? You're going to try real good for me? All right. I'm going to put it down here, and I want you to, let's see, can we sing the books of the New Testament? All right.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and the Roman, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians.
Is that good enough? You want to do more? No, all right. Okay. Now, folks, you know how that happens, don't you? You know how that happens. You talk about it. It's life. It's when you're in the car. It's when you're driving to McDonald's to get a Happy Meal. Harrison, every time you sing that, I think your mom ought to take you to McDonald's. What do you think? I had a grandson that sang. It was Austin, Jonathan, Julie's son, that sang A B C D E F G. And we got to the end of it. Now I've said my ABCs, take me to McDonald's, please. He was with me and Judy in a gospel meeting in Lewisburg. Was it Lewisburg? In Lewisburg, Tennessee. And staying in the motel with us every night on the way home from church. Spontaneously, without being prompted at all. From the back seat of the car came A, B, C, D. And you know what grandparents do when grandkids sing that song, okay? And I love that aspect of it. But you see, and I don't want to overly brag, because I know there's some other parents who are here who are doing that thing. But I do that not to make him look good or not to make his parents look good, to just show you how it's done. You know, Jack and Jill went up the hill. You know why you know that? Because when you were that little, you had that nursery rhyme book and you learned all of those nursery rhymes and you cannot get them out of your head. You know, when he fell down and broke his crown, I didn't have a clue what he broke. I didn't know what a crown was when I heard that. I couldn't. And, you know, and I figured out when he's playing checkers, they said, crown me, that I almost got beat up doing that. But anyway, that's the way you learn it. And that's exactly what this is talking about. How do you teach your children the Bible? Well, it's a part of life, and it just happens spontaneously. Anthony, you've got some kids. How do you teach them the Bible? Well, I know how, because, you know, last Sunday night, I can't remember the question you asked your daughter, but, she shouted out the answer right there. And I know how you do it. It's just a part of life. And, the kinds of things we would do with our children, we'd be driving down the highway and we'd say, there's a cow over there. Where are cows mentioned in the Bible? And, that, you know, it's just a part of life. We'd do cows, and then we'd do birds, and we'd do trees, and we'd do whatever, and then we'd stop. It's not, okay, kid, sit down, I'm going to ram the Bible down your throat. It's just a part. That's what this is talking about. And you've heard me say again and again, that part of Judaism, wherever you remember the donkey that was not going to be bought with a lamb, it was not going to be sanctified. You remember what the father had to do with that firstborn donkey that was born? Now, why do you remember that? Because it is so graphic. I mean, if you're 7 years of age, hey, Daddy, we got a brand new donkey out here. Oh, man, it's firstborn. What are we going to do? Can we keep it? Nope, not going to keep it. Got all the donkeys we need. Well, you know what? Well, what are we going to do with it? Well, I could buy it back from God, but I'm going to give it to God in another way. And he reaches over and grabs the head of that donkey, puts his foot on the neck, and breaks that donkey's neck. If you were the firstborn son, he got your attention right then, right? See, the firstborn son had to be sanctified too. Everything that opened the womb, there was that aspect of it. But what a powerful lesson that was. And guys, Christianity's got it built into it. We're just not wise enough to see it. You know, and if your children haven't been a part of you carrying food to somebody's house that was sick, you got to understand, it's just daily living. When you're lying down, when you're getting up, you know, when you're in your house and when you're not in your house, you're just out there dealing with life and teaching the Bible to your children just as a part of life. And that is really, honestly and truly, tremendously important. I want to look at one other, and that's in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. The Lord says through Moses, and by the way, you know how close Moses is to dying when he writes the book of Deuteronomy? It's written the last month of his life. How many chapters in Deuteronomy? How many? You missed it by two. 34. All right, I was hoping you'd go 38, and then I could say you missed it by four, Chuck. In what chapter in the book of Deuteronomy does Moses die? The last one. How many is the last one? 34. I just asked you that because it's on the card. I just thought you ought to know that, okay? It's not important to know how many chapters there are specifically, but it is good to know what's the end of this book, and that is the death of Moses. Moses is about to die. Do you know in the first month of this last year that Miriam died? Did Miriam die before Aaron? Yes. Miriam dies in the first month. Aaron dies in the fifth month. And so Aaron and Miriam and Moses all die in exactly the same year. That's why I believe this book carries even greater weight. He knows his life is about over. He's there on the edge of the promised land, and God said, you're not going to go into the promised land. Anybody remember in what chapter we read about where Moses struck the rock? Not many remembered. What book? Numbers. What chapter? 20. All right. Numbers chapter 20. Guys, it'll help you to learn that because you need to know that. Chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like unto me from your midst, from your brethren, him shall ye hear. And so God says that through Moses, he's going to raise up another prophet. Now, I love those verses in the Bible where the chapter and the verses are the same. Don't you love how easy it is to remember, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? You know where that's found? Mark 16, 16. You just got to memorize one number and then you just stutter it. Mark 16, 16. For example, you know, in the book of Acts, there was great joy in that city. You know where that is? See, at West Huntsville, where I grew up, every time I went to Bible class, you had to say a verse. And I found every short verse there was in the Bible. I have known since I was 7 years old, Acts chapter 8 and verse 8. Because everybody else would get John 3, you know, would get to John 11, 35. And they'd get, and man, I thought I'd gone to heaven when I found 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing, rejoice evermore, you know, and all of those short little phrases over there. But I got one nobody else got. And nobody else used it ever but me. It was my verse. And there was great joy in that city. Acts 8 and verse 8. Isn't that ridiculous for me to remember that? I don't even know why I mention it other than the fact that I'm weird. All right, now look at verse 18. Deuteronomy 18, 18. And one reason I say that, that's a verse on this card. Deuteronomy 18, 18. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren. And I will put my words, look at the S on that. Jehovah God says, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Isn't that amazing? Now in the New Testament, this verse is applied to Jesus. This is one of those verses about, in one sentence, Harrison, do you remember what the Bible is about in three sentences? Now, come over here, I'll help you. I may have to help you, I don't know. Let me get my mic. I'm not going to do it unless you do it loud, okay? In three sentences, what's the Bible all about?
Someone's coming, someone's here, someone's coming again.
All right. Someone's coming, someone's here, and somebody's coming again. And Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18 is one of those verses. They knew that when that someone came, he was going to be a prophet like Moses. And that's why this verse is important. The other part of that is, the Lord says, and if you don't listen to my words, you're going to answer to me. That's powerful. That's sobering, guys. Hear the words of Jesus. Here's the New Testament. And God said, that's my son. And if you don't listen to my son, you're going to answer to me. That's like being sent to, Katie, it's like being sent to the principal's office because you done wrong. You know, when I was, I hated going to the principal's office. You stayed there, Robert. You said you live there. Okay. He stayed there. But here's this verse. The Lord says, if you don't listen to me, I will. And Joe's another one. Marion's pointing at him. I didn't say that. Marion thinks that about him. And then he says, if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the prophet has not spoken? How do you tell if a man's a prophet or not? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. Now, think religiously. I don't know how much you're acquainted with the Mormon religion and the prophecies that Joseph Smith made about the things that were about to happen and about temples that were going to be built in that very generation, and not a single one of those things came to pass. Well, here's Joseph Smith that says, I'm a prophet of God. Is he a prophet of God? Put him to the prophet's test. The prophet's test is, tell me what's going to happen. And if you say it's going to happen and it doesn't pass, you've spoken it presumptuously. Think about the Jehovah's Witnesses. Are you aware that five different times they've set the date for the end of the world? And the whole charismatic movement on television, televangelists, are setting the date. All of the time they're setting the date. The book that I got way back yonder, 88 Reasons the Lord's Coming Back in 88. You know what volume 2 was? 89 reasons the Lord's coming back in 89. I don't think he sold nearly as many of the 89 books as he did of the 88 books. But you look at it, how can I decide if this man's a prophet of God? If he says it's going to happen and it doesn't come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. Look at the rest of this. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. I thought it says put him to death. Here it is, verse 20. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak, or speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. That's sobering, guys. It ought to be sobering to everybody that teaches a Bible class. It ought to be sobering to every preacher. It ought to be sobering in any time we get in a religious discussion and somebody says, well, now what do you believe about this? And you, because they view you as a Christian, you're ready to give your view of it. You're speaking in the name of the Lord. And if you don't speak what the Lord says, God says, put him to death. That's how serious it is to stay inside this book. How serious it is to stay inside this book. Well, we're not trying to learn facts. But you need to know where Deuteronomy 18:18 is. You need to know the context. You need to know those verses right before it and the verses after it. I mean, this is not just some arbitrary thing. Well, it'd be easy to remember 18:18. Well, 16:16 might have been easier because we already know Mark 16:16. Now we just got to, you know, no, not just an arbitrary trying to pick out some books and verses or something to remember. These verses are critically important, and I urge you, I beg of you to spend some time learning them because that's really what this is all about. It's to equip us as the saints of God to get out and to serve Him. Now, when and how do you teach your children the Bible? Anywhere, anytime. That's important. That is important. And whereabouts in the Bible do I read about that prophet that the Lord is going to raise up? Deuteronomy what? Chapter what? 18:18. Just stutter it and you've got it just right. Just have to memorize one number. All right.